VOA1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lynn, Alice Bryant, and Jill Robbins. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
The U.S. space agency NASA has released the first video, pictures, and sound captured by its Mars Explorer, Perseverance. The video shows the Explorer, or rover, at different points during its landing on the Red Planet last week. Some members of the Perseverance team said the video and images were even better than they had expected. "It gives me goosebumps every time I see it. Just amazing," said Dave Gruhl. He is head of the spacecraft's landing camera team. Al Chen heads the Perseverance landing team. He called the pictures and video the stuff of our dreams. 6 color cameras were positioned to capture all stages of the landing. NASA said the cameras started when the rover was about 11 kilometers above the surface of Mars. Flight controllers were also pleased with the thousands of images that Perseverance sent back to Earth. They said the rover was in very good condition after the landing. Perseverance landed in an area of Mars called Jezero Crater, just north of the planet's equator. The area contains a large ancient lake bed. The six-wheeled Explorer's main mission is to collect Martian soil and rocks to help scientists search for signs of ancient life. NASA added 25 cameras to the Perseverance mission, the most ever sent to Mars. The space agency's last rover, Curiosity, is only able to produce lower quality images of the planet's surface. NASA said it also received sound from Perseverance. A microphone attached to the rover was not able to collect usable data during the actual landing, but it did record sounds from Jezero Crater after it touched down. NASA said that about 10 seconds into a 60-second recording, Martian wind can be heard for a few seconds. Equipment sounds were also captured as the rover operated on the surface. The video and images provided NASA with the possibility to see the effectiveness of spacecraft systems, some of which could not be tested on Earth. "So this is the first time we've had a chance as engineers to actually see what we designed," said Matt Wallace, a project official with NASA's Mars 2020 program. Thomas Zurbuchen is NASA's science mission chief. He said the video and panoramic pictures that Perseverance captured are the closest you can get to landing on Mars without putting on a pressure suit. NASA engineers say the images will help the agency prepare for astronaut flights to Mars in the future. But imaging scientist Justin Mackey noted that the pictures and videos can offer more immediate help as well. "I know it's been a tough year for everybody," Mackey said, "and we're hoping that maybe these images will help brighten people's days." I'm Brian Lynn.
Time on social media or the internet, chances are that you have come across memes. Memes are humorous words, pictures, or videos shared widely around the internet. Memes can make us laugh, but they can also teach us a lot about English grammar. They can demonstrate such things as sentence structure. And they can show how meaning is affected by punctuation or spelling mistakes. On today's program, we look at three popular memes and discuss the grammar behind each one. The first meme is the most complex of the three. It is an example of just how strange the English language can be. The word "had" is unusual in English. It is probably the only word that can appear consecutively many times and still be grammatically correct. Listen to this meme, which is so popular that it has been used on coffee mugs and clothing. All the coffee she had had no effect. The simplest meaning of this sentence is, a woman drank some coffee, but it had no effect on her. Notice that it uses the word had 4 times consecutively. How is that possible? Let's try to make sense of it. To do that, we need to first discuss the past perfect verb tense. The past perfect is formed by adding had to the past participle of the main verb. An easy way to think of this is had plus past participle. Some examples include had eaten, had seen, had helped, and, as in the meme, had had. We use the past perfect to express that something happened before another action in the past. It can also express that something happened before a specific time in the past. So the sentence about the woman's coffee suggests that something happened after she drank it. But for the purpose of this lesson, that thing is not important. To make sense of the coffee meme, it also helps to understand adjective clauses. The meme contains an adjective clause, a part of a sentence that acts as an adjective and has its own subject and verb. Adjective clauses begin with relative pronouns, such as that. But the word "that" was not used in the meme because its use is not required. Listen to the line again, this time with the word "that." All the coffee that she had had no effect. The adjective clause here is that she had had. Again, adjective clauses act like adjectives, which describe or give more information about nouns. In this case, the adjective clause that she had had describes the noun coffee. Now, let's take the adjective clause out of the sentence for a minute to see what remains. Here is the sentence without the adjective clause. All the coffee had had no effect. Here we have a fairly simple sentence with the verb have in past perfect form, which is had had. We can call this sentence the main clause. So, to sum up what is happening in the meme, the verb have is used in past perfect form 2 times consecutively.
Now, let's move to our second meme. Listen carefully to it and see if you can catch the difference in meaning between 2 sentences. It goes like this. Let's eat, Grandma. Let's eat, Grandma. Commas save lives. In the first sentence, let's eat, Grandma. Notice the pause after the word eat. The pause is meaningful here. When we are making a suggestion, such as let's eat, and we pause to say a person's name afterward, it shows that we are speaking directly to that person. In writing, we use a comma to signal that we are speaking to or addressing someone. However, the second sentence, let's eat Grandma, has no comma. This suggests we are speaking to someone else about Grandma. So the sentence means that we are suggesting to another person that we eat our grandmother. The ridiculousness of this suggestion expresses how important commas are to meaning. So, commas really do save lives.
And finally, we move to a meme about homophones. A homophone is a word that sounds like another word but has a different meaning and spelling. English contains many homophones. Listen to this popular meme that can be found all over the English-speaking internet. Reading along as you listen is useful here, since some words sound the same as others. Here is the meme. If I ever use there instead of there and your instead of your, I've been kidnapped and am signaling for help. The writer of this meme is clearly someone who finds spelling mistakes problematic. One of the most common mistakes Americans and other English speakers make is confusing the word there, spelled T-H-E-R-E, with the shortened version of they are, spelled T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E. Many English speakers also mix up the word your, spelled Y-O-U-R, with the shortened version of you are, spelled Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. By saying only their kidnapping could cause such a mistake, the writer drives home that they would never mix up these homophones. Memes like these can help us learn more about English grammar. They also help us to laugh at common mistakes even native English speakers make. I'm Alice Bryant.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
To help protect yourself against the new coronavirus, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, and after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus.
If you cannot wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Taking these steps can help prevent not only the new coronavirus disease, but also colds, flu, and other viruses. For more information, visit the following websites: the World Health Organization at www.who.int or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. The United States entered the Second World War in December of 1941. Europe had already been at war since 1939, but the United States did not enter World War II until Japanese forces attacked the American naval base at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. The attack was a surprise, but American military and political leaders had believed that the United States, sooner or later, would be pulled into the fighting, and they began to prepare for war. President Franklin Roosevelt had been Assistant Secretary of the Navy under President Woodrow Wilson during World War I. He remembered how American troops were not ready for that war. Now that he was president, Roosevelt wanted to be sure that the United States would be ready when it had to fight. Throughout 1941, Roosevelt urged American industries to produce more weapons and other military supplies. He established new government agencies to work with industry to increase arms production. Some business leaders resisted Roosevelt's efforts. They felt there was no need to produce more arms while the United States was still at peace. But many others cooperated, and by the time Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, the American economy was producing millions of guns and other weapons. Still, this was not enough to fight a war. After the Japanese attack, Roosevelt increased his demands on American industry. He called for 60,000 warplanes, 45,000 tanks, and 20,000 anti-aircraft guns. And he wanted all these within 1 year. A month after the Pearl Harbor raid, Roosevelt organized a special committee to direct military production. He created another group to help companies find men and women for defense work. And he established a new office where the nation's best scientists and engineers could work together to design new weapons. These new government organizations faced several problems. Sometimes factories produced too much of one product and not enough of another. Sometimes tools broke, and some business owners refused to accept government orders. But the weapons were produced, and American troops soon had the guns and supplies they needed. The federal government had to quickly expand its own workforce to meet war needs. Federal spending increased from $6 billion in 1940 to $89 billion in 1944. That was 15 times as much spending in just 5 years. Roosevelt had to take strong steps to get the money for all this spending. He put limits on wages. He increased income taxes to as much as 94% on portions of incomes over $200,000. and he asked the American people to lend money to the federal government. The people answered by purchasing almost $100 billion in war bonds. The great increase in public spending raised the threat of high inflation. Roosevelt created a special office with the power to control prices. Many Americans agreed with the idea of price controls, but every business wanted somebody else's prices controlled, not their own. Federal officials had to work hard to keep prices and supplies under control. They restricted how much meat, fuel, and other goods people could buy. The price control program generally worked. Its success kept the American economy strong to support the troops fighting in Europe and Asia. One reason these strong economic steps worked was because most of the American people fully supported the war effort.
She's the part of the assembly line. She's making history, working for victory. Rosie, the riveter, keeps a sharp lookout for sabotage. Sitting up there on the fuselage, that little friend can do more than a myth can do. Rosie, the riveter, Rosie's got a boyfriend, Charlie. Charlie, he's a Marine. Rosie is protecting Charlie, working overtime on the riveting machine. When they gave her a production lead, she was as proud as a girl could be. There's something true about red, white, and blue about Rosie, the riveter.
You can look at photographs of people from those times and see in their faces how strongly they felt. In one picture from the state of North Carolina, a group of men are standing in front of old rubber tires. They are planning to give the tires to the Army to be fixed and used for military vehicles. Another photo shows a woman visiting a hospital. She is singing to a soldier to lift his spirits. Still another photo shows a man who owns a small food store. He is placing signs on meat and cans of food to tell people how much they are allowed to buy. You can also get an idea about the feelings of the times by the names of some of the popular songs during World War II. In addition to Rosie the Riveter, there were songs like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. One of the most hopeful songs was this one, recorded by Britain's Vera Lynn.
Snow is all that may fall from the sky.
Not all Americans supported the war. A small number refused to fight because of religious or moral beliefs. They were known as conscientious objectors. And some Americans supported Adolf Hitler and other fascists. But almost everyone else wanted to win the war quickly and return to a normal life. Many Japanese Americans served with honor in the United States Armed Forces. But many Americans were suspicious of anyone whose family had come from Japan. They refused to trust even Japanese American families who had lived in the United States for more than a century. Many banks refused to lend money to Japanese Americans. Many stores would not sell to them. The federal government relocated thousands of Japanese Americans in California and other states into internment camps. They were released only after the war ended. It was many years before the government officially apologized for mistreating Japanese Americans. But World War II did lead to progress for another group that was often the target of discrimination, Black Americans. Black leaders spoke out. They said it was unfair to fight a war for freedom in Europe while Black Americans did not have all the same freedoms as white citizens.
Negroes want the same things that white citizens possess. All of their rights, and no force under the sun can stem and block and stop this civil rights revolution which is now underway.
In 1941, a leader in the Black community, A. Philip Randolph, threatened to lead a giant march on Washington for civil rights for Blacks. President Roosevelt reacted by issuing an order that made it a crime to deny Blacks a chance for jobs in defense industries. He also ordered the armed forces to change some of their rules that discriminated against Black service members. Blacks made progress in the military and defense industries. But most other industries still refused to give them an equal chance. Major progress on civil rights would not come until the 1950s and 60s. Life was busy during the war years. There were many changes in the economy, business, music, race relations, and other areas. But in many ways, life continued as it always does. Americans did what they could during the hard years of World War II to keep life on the home front as normal as possible. But almost everyone understood that the first job was to support the troops overseas and win the war. This strength of purpose at home gave American soldiers the support they needed, and it also helped President Roosevelt as he negotiated with other world leaders. Diplomacy and foreign relations became much more complex during the war.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.